Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we're consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week.
We have on our podcast Ashley Atkinson Williamson, the second female president of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association.
Now, this is a big deal. Congrats, Ashley.
Thank you, guys. So I'm excited to be back with you both.
Yes, we had you on an episode last year.
Yes, we did.
And it really opened my eyes because we were talking about infill development. And so we're excited.
Yeah, and we even went out and saw Ashley's place.
We did.
We made a little field trip. We don't do too many field trips. Well, we went with Ashley and went out to her place, and I love the rooftop. That was
the rooftop, and it was close walking distance to the grocery store.
But what I'm waiting for is when am I going to get an invitation for a barbecue on top of your house, on your rooftop?
So that project is 24 units per acre, just to put a plug in for how to do high density responsible.
And it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's right there in Holiday. So.
Yes, sir. Great view and love the rooftop.
Yep.
Ashley, tell us about the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. Give us the scoop.
So the Home Builders Association is three-tiered. There's a local level, state level, and national level. Obviously, the Home Builders Association, we advocate for housing.
Is every builder a member of it? Or do they have to be
they
a member
should
of
be.
It?
Every they builder should be a member of it because we are advocating for them and advocating for the problems that they're facing every day. But no, they don't have to be. And we also have a lot of affiliates like title companies, realtors, mortgage officers, and then a lot of trades. Right now, we're fighting to keep housing as attainable as possible. I think everyone is experiencing the same housing crisis, costs escalating. On a local level, we are supporting elected officials who support responsible development. So they're against undue regulation. They're for responsible density. On a state level, they are fighting like for reasonable impact fees. So when you buy a house, a big chunk of that, probably up to $15,000, $20,000, depending on the home, is impact fees that the state or the county, the city are assessing these fees for roads, utilities.
Is that a one-time fee?
The impact
fee. In the house? The impact fee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's right in the
It's in, right in the cost of every single home.
As someone that just purchased my first property, I'm so grateful. I've said this so many times, but I'm so grateful to those mink farmers that they gave up their land so that my condo could be built
I'm
on
grateful,
it.
Too, because I live close by.
Well, yeah. I think,
and trust me.
I think the smell, everyone's grateful. There's still some hogs around that they get ripe sometimes.
Right.
What else are you guys doing to help with this affordable housing?
Big conversations right now are around opening supply chains, helping with labor shortages, and fighting against regulation that hampers our ability to create more housing and create it as attainable as possible. So supply chain issues, we have wood floors right now that are sitting on the coast of California that have been there for 3 months.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so when you can't get wood floors, think about what that does
to the cost.
Yeah, and to the shortage, every single product that you can't get. Builders right now, like some of these production builders, they were building homes in 3 to 4 months. They're saying at least 6 months per home. I mean, that's almost doubling the time to get a home on the market. And that is from permit. So think about if you can't get a rezone or you can't get your plans approved with the city or your permit done fast enough, like tack that time on to the additional 2-3 months. And that's on a small tract home. You know, big homes, you're probably adding 4, 5, 6 months right now.
So how are builders able to stay afloat with that?
I'm sure you heard last year the word cost escalations in contracts. Mm-hmm. That was a big theme of last year. And I think you're going to continue to see that this year. When lumber skyrocketed last year, a lot of builders got caught in. They had set a price for a home and then lumber went up and lumber maybe went up 50% higher than they expected. many builders already had an escalation clause in their contract, and they just weren't using it, and so the public wasn't aware of it. Some builders didn't have it in their contracts. When that happened, all of a sudden the builders had to go back. Like, we would have to have these extremely hard conversations with clients and say, yeah, we told you the price was going to be this much of your home, but concrete has increased by $20,000 and lumber has increased by $50,000. Which, just think of the effect that that has had. All of a sudden your pre-approval doesn't work, or you have to bring X amount more. And I mean, it's a whole chain reaction.
Those that didn't have the escalation clause in there, what happens?
I would say the market is so strong right now, I kind of doubt any builder went under, but a lot of builders probably went on under on some homes.
Oh,
I'm sure that some
yeah.
homes they did not make money on.
I feel like mine was one of
well, and, well, and I, if I remember correctly, there were some times where they were actually wanting to buy back the contract. Is that a correct assessment? Meaning, in other words, they made a contract for a certain amount of price, and then in order to get out of that price, if somebody wanted to give up their contract.
Is this fake news that you're spreading?
No, I don't know. It might be fake news. I thought maybe it was like, for $10,000, we'll let you out of the contract.
I haven't heard of that personally, but if lumber went up $30,000 and you could buy back your contract for $10,000, I could see why a builder would want
to
do
make
that.
Sense anyway. Maybe that is fake news, Stephanie.
I
don't know. If you haven't heard of it, obviously, it must be something I just
Scott
had a...
Spreading rumors. People are like, I heard from Scott on the Utah Real Estate Podcast. I love it.
Oh, gosh.
I think what the public didn't understand is that the builders, if lumber went up, the builders were directly eating that cost. I think it was very hard last year. At first, the public was thinking builders were just out to get them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of builders, the builders right now, we're not having any fun. I mean, telling people that their homes are expensive, telling people that their homes are delayed several months when they're already
frazzled.
They're
usually.
Already frazzled. They're at the top of their budget.
They're dealing with COVID. It's a bad time.
Yes.
Stress level is way up
yes.
than it normally is. I could imagine. I can tell you this. If I had a builder come to me and told me his costs went up and I had made a contract with him, I'd be saying to myself, that's not my problem. That would be me. I mean, a normal consumer, wouldn't they say that? They would say, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Your business is your business. That's what I would say.
And I don't think a lot of clients and their realtors, I mean, maybe they had read that in the contract, but mm-hmm. I don't think they had expected it. You know, that's probably boilerplate that builders put in their contract just in case of something like this. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to see it for the next several years, just because we're all so nervous.
Well, I think it's a good thing that it's even being brought up here, because I think if you're somebody who's building a house and you don't know there's an escalation clause in your contract, that could be mighty irritating, and you would unfairly judge a builder only because you don't understand the contract. And in writing contracts a lot in insurance, because I've been in insurance my whole life, people will come back afterwards that they've signed the contract, they don't know what's in the verbiage, and then all of a sudden they have to abide by the contract, and they come back and say, well, wait a minute, I didn't know I was doing that. Well, you got to read your contract.
You know, going back to what you had talked about of this delay of the floors and stuff, I have three friends right now that are moving in close to me, so I watch their places like hawks because I'm excited for them to move in.
Yeah.
and they've been a little delayed, and I've been like, what's the holdup?
Who is it that's moving in that you're so excited about?
All three of them. It's going to be great. They're going to be closer, you know. How you said that consumers were like, well, like, these builders are trying to nickel and dime us. Because I had such a great experience building, and that's why I referred so many of my friends. And I think to just have that realistic expectation of right now, like, things are going to be delayed, but they're doing their best that they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The port problems, and then the cost of shipping containers. That's another thing that no one was expecting. You know, people are expecting, like a 5% increase on labor or something like that. But shipping containers, like for LVP, so luxury vinyl planking or luxury vinyl flooring, apparently, at least this is what we're being told, but apparently a shipping container to bring that from China used to be about $3,000, and now they have to bid for them, and they're anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000.
Holy cow!
And so, like, LVP, you used to could have put in your house for $3 or $4 a square foot installed, and now that same LVP is $7 or $8 a foot.
So is this all just delayed because of, like, COVID or?
It seems to be. Yeah. I mean, the supply chain problems overall seem to be COVID. Like, the lumber, they stopped produce. The mill stopped producing so much, A, because they couldn't get the labor in there, but also because COVID. They thought, oh, there's going to be, like, a pause on building.
Yeah.
So it's, like, multifaceted, but I think for the most part, most of this is COVID.
It wasn't 2021 a good year in general for
2021 was a great year. I mean, I have it here. There was 28.3% housing price increase in Utah in 2021.
Wow. Wait, 28.3?
Yes.
28.3 increase.
Man.
I mean, I guess that's both a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah, sure.
It's a good thing that we can keep building homes, because otherwise, if the prices weren't coming up with the increases in prices, then builders just couldn't build homes, and then the shortage would get even worse. Talking about the pause that people expected, the pause. So I didn't know this until recently, but so the value of construction in Utah in 2021 was $10.4 billion. 63% of that is residential. I didn't realize residential was such a big piece compared to, like, commercial. So when hotels stopped because, you know, no one wanted to build a hotel, no one wanted to build an office building, it didn't slow down the market as much as people maybe thought it would, just because residential is such a big part of the construction industry in Utah.
So what do you see in 2022 that we're here? And we've had this, I would say it's got to be one of the most tumultuous years in all the industries, in particular housing, I would think, here in Utah, good and bad. What about 2022?
I think escalation clauses are going to continue. I think build times are going to stay slow. I think we're going to see more attached housing and creative solutions to housing. I think condos, townhomes, duplexes, twin homes, I think we're going to see builders get more creative with that. I think the new generations, millennials and Gen Zs, are going to want more sustainable solutions to housing. You know, attached housing is more sustainable, smaller yards, less amount of real estate. And then walkable communities, I think we're already seeing that. But all of that is helping the environment, and it's helping the housing shortage, because those are so much more affordable and we can fit so many more on smaller land, which in Utah especially, we have a land shortage where, you know, we have mountains on all sides of us. There's nowhere to go but up at this point. The economists are expecting around 10% increase in prices this year. I hope it can stay at that. I hope new construction can stay at that. When we hear these shipping container costs, which are affecting countertop materials and a lot more than just flooring, 10% kind of sounds like, can we really build a house for only 10% more? I hope so. And the economists are saying that the shortage is going to continue. We built about 40,000 units last year. When I say built, that's from the Ivory Boyer Construction Report. That's an estimate. There were 30,000 permits pulled by the end of the third quarter. So most likely there were probably 40,000 by the year, but that's permits pulled. So the homes weren't actually built. And with the longer lead times of homes, that's probably a little bit inaccurate. But the Salt Lake Home Builders Association actually just had Natalie Gochner from the University of Utah come and speak this week. And she said that the economists are expecting 5 to 10 years in Utah to get out of the shortage, even with the builders building at record numbers.
You said like 30,000 permits pulled by the end of last year.
By the end of the third quarter.
So probably like 40,000. That's a lot of new development if you think about that. And this is just Salt Lake County?
This is in Utah. We are building at record numbers. The home builders, despite all of these challenges, we are building at record numbers. But it just doesn't seem to be putting a dent in. If you look at, like, right after the recession, builders just didn't build for several years, not nearly enough homes. And so while now we're kind of supporting the in-migration and the new households, which is so many people are moving here because the economy is so great and because the lifestyle is so great. And then there's all these new households. Like when you bought your house, all of a sudden you became a new household. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're measuring it. But for so many years, builders were so nervous after the recession that they just didn't build. So we're, while it sounds like we're doing a great job, we have so many years to make up for.
And how long that's going to take? 5 to 10 years?
Yes, in Natalie's presentation, she said that most economists are expecting 5 to 10 years to get out of the shortage in Utah.
Which to me, that just shows that it's still a good investment to buy right now.
I don't see house costs coming down. Look, mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully some of these shipping issues slow down and we can get our supply chains open back up. But interest rates are going to rise. So you would think, oh, well, hopefully that makes prices go down. But there's so many cash buyers. They're increasing the loan limits. The loan limit is now, for a conventional loan, is almost $650,000 in Salt Lake County.
And it won't have any impact. It does seem that a lot of people want to move to Utah.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of some of the surrounding states and some of the laws that they've put in place are, for lack of a better term, almost anti-business. To some degree.
Yeah.
And people are wanting to come to a tax-friendly state that promotes entrepreneurship. And I think Utah is one of those states.
Absolutely. Our unemployment is under 2% right now. I think it's the lowest it's ever been, which shows you why we have such labor issues. But that is what I was getting at, is I don't see the cost of a home, being able to build a new home, decreasing very much. I mean, labor's not going to go down. Inflation's going up. So how are we going to pay, you know, our trades and our subs less to build a home? So if shipping, you know, if we can open the supply chain, fix some of these supply chain issues, some shipping costs, that's the part that's the bad news. Like, oh, your flooring doubled. But I don't see that as a fix this whole, you know, problem.
I know a ton of my neighbors seem to have somebody in the basement.
Yes. I mean, the ADU laws that the state enacted this year, that's huge.
What is that law?
So the cities had traditionally had the power to choose if we allow ADUs and where we allow them and how we allow them. And
what's an ADU?
An ADU is an accessory dwelling unit.
Okay.
And the state last year enacted that if the cities or if the different municipalities aren't going to allow that and are making it too restrictive, then the state's going to come in and say, no, you have to allow it. And a lot of cities are listening and have opened up. In Holiday, there are every lot that's over a half acre, you can have a detached ADU on now. And every single family lot that's under a half acre, you can have an attached ADU. And there's very little additional regulation with that.
Which before, what you're saying is with the cities, it was really hard to like pass that with zoning.
Yes, the cities before were a lot more restrictive than they are now because the state has came in and taken some of that power from them.
You know, you hear people going to, and you talked a little bit about this in the last time we had you in, but you hear people talking about college and it's just like, everyone feels like to be successful, you need a doctor or a lawyer, but you guys are really helping younger people see the importance of trade school and how that they can earn a good living with that. So tell us a little bit more.
Yes, we absolutely need trades. We're experiencing an extreme shortage of skilled trades right now. I think this is an area that isn't well understood. There is a huge opportunity for entrepreneurship in the trades. You know, a lot of plumbers, electricians, they learn, you know, they work as a journeyman and learn the trade, and then they can start their own business. And I mean, they're extremely successful. And you look at that 5 to 10 years to get out of the shortage. I mean, that's a pretty good time horizon of needing trades. And I don't see a time ever in the future that you're not going to need an electrician or a plumber.
Oh, I don't think ever. That's going to be long after I'm in the ground. We're going to need the plumbers and the electricians.
Right. And just like all the skills and how cool to be able to build something.
Absolutely. And I mean, what a way to own your own business and create jobs for people, for more youth and help them become a business owner one day.
Yeah, and on top of that, I am so illiterate when it comes to all this stuff that every time something goes wrong in my house, I got to call an electrician or a plumber in there, and they charge me an arm and a leg. I don't know. These guys are making all kinds of money. They're like bandits.
They are doing well.
They are doing well. Yeah. They drive up in their Cadillac, and then they, you know, they pull up with about five trucks, and, you know, I'm saying, man, I got to get in there. I get in that business.
Okay, so tell us, how can people listening, how can the public help with this housing shortage?
So as we discussed, there's a lack of land in the Salt Lake Valley, and there is an extreme anti-density sentiment. If we want our kids to be able to raise their kids here in this valley, that sentiment has to change. I understand the sentiment, but at the same time, what's more important and what's more important for our kids and their kids? It's to be able to live here, have the same lifestyles that we had growing up, go to planning commissions, go to city councils, and advocate for apartments and townhomes on major arteries. We don't need to put apartments in the middle of single family zoning, but at the same time, we can have smaller lot requirements in single family zoning. We can go talk to the planning commission, the cities, the city councils, and say, look, we do need density. I want my kids to live in the same city. And we can all advocate for that. And at the very least, understand why developers and home builders and the cities and the state now are asking for a little bit higher density in these areas, because that is ultimately, that's the fastest way to come out of the shortage, is to get more units.
Having lived, of course, my entire life, adult life, away from here, and then moving here a few years back, I don't think I've ever seen a state so tight with family. In other words, extended family. Everybody loves to stay in Utah. And if you want your kids to stay in Utah, sometimes you have to expand, like you're saying, your vision a little bit. And if you want your kid to stay in Utah, your neighbor wants your kid to stay, his kid to stay in Utah. Your other neighbor wants their kid to stay in Utah. And you have to work together as a community to say, okay, we want all of our kids to stay here, and we're going to have to give up a little bit in order to do that. And I like your idea, or the concept of, you know, you don't have to put these apartment complexes and high density places right in the middle of these, you know, single family homes, but you can set aside places where those are not quite such a eyesore, if you want to call it that.
Absolutely. And instead of just saying, we don't want more traffic, we don't want pollution, well, think about putting some townhomes or putting apartments in a walkable area near a grocery store. Even if it's not the very best place to put those apartments, it's better than nothing. And so rather than just saying no, 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 no density, think about saying yes sometimes, or anytime it makes sense. And most of these projects do make sense. I think that a few projects get on the news and get a big bandwagon following them, and then the whole public just thinks, no apartments, no townhomes. And we need them. We need a variety of different unit types for our future generations.
And I was reading an article the other day that was in the city where I live, and they were wanting to put in 5,000 new homes. And the people were like, are you serious? Have you seen our grocery stores and like everything? And they were saying, hey, you know, for us to get another grocery store, for us to get like these big things that you need, like we have to have a little bit more pull, because these businesses, they want to come in where people are going to come and shop too. And so I'd never thought of that before. That's like sometimes where you're like, why isn't there a grocery store closer? Well, they aren't going to come to a place that there's a ton of people that are.
Well, have you
seen
Saratoga Springs, which is not far from
you?
My gosh, I drove down there the other day, and they're like a whole city unto themselves now. They're building so many different shops and grocery stores that they can support the population that's grown out there, kind of exploding out there in Eagle Mountain, Saratoga Springs, that direction out there. And so it's now you have local stores. And you really don't have to travel to Lehigh from Saratoga Springs. You've got something there in Saratoga Springs.
You hear in planning commission meetings a lot, if not here, then where? And at least that is finally being addressed, that it does need to go somewhere. And so, you know, if not in this particular spot that they're discussing a project or a rezone, then where? And most of the time, it's right where someone's proposing it. Because most developers and home builders, they're very thoughtful. They are developing as responsibly as they can. And the more that the public sees that and it becomes more open-minded, the sooner we can turn this housing shortage around in Utah.
Well, and the other thing about apartments is that sometimes when you think of apartments, you think of, well, I don't know, is that less desirable? But I can tell you most young couples go into apartments first. And I've lived in an apartment when we first got married, and it wasn't like there was, you know, riffraff there. It was just young couples that were, you know, newly married, some of them going to school, some of them just getting started in their careers, and they needed a place to land, which is an apartment, while they can save up a little bit of money, get their career started, and then get into regular housing. So I think sometimes when people think of apartments, they think, ah, that's undesirable. But that's not necessarily true. There are a lot of good people that just need a place to start.
Oh, absolutely. And I think some of the condo and townhome and apartment rents in downtown Salt Lake, Sugar House, Holiday, I mean, you'd be shocked at how much some of those people are paying monthly. And rents are rising. I think rents rose 17% last year. I don't know if that was Utah or Salt Lake City, but it was substantial. And so think of what, if you can't get into a home and get your fixed rate, think of that extra expense that you're adding every year while you're trying to mm-hmm. save. I mean, these kids are trying so hard to get into a home. They're working hard. It's that's what the public needs to think about when they shoot down and go complain about a new development is, who am I affecting? Who's not getting into a home? Whose rents are going to go up and they're going to be even more left behind than they already are if we can't create some more units for them?
Good point.
And I like the question of, okay, if not here, where? Because it really does put into that perspective, okay, if we're in this housing crisis and affordable housing isn't available to people, but we need a place for them to live, where are we going to put them?
Absolutely.
I mean, here in Utah, I mean, I'm looking at the East Coast versus Utah. And, you know, there are some areas in the East Coast that, you know, they're dangerous. In looking at the Salt Lake Valley, Salt Lake Valley is pretty tame. I mean, compared to major cities, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, I know there's some
crime. Compared to your streets in Baltimore.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's really not that type of huge crime going on, you know, throughout the rampant, which you see in some of the other major cities. So,
the anti-density sentiment here is not because of crime. It's not valid. I went to several planning commission meetings, and people that are in more dense housing next door to half the density are there complaining, saying we don't want more density. It's completely unfounded in most cases here.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that makes sense, because I look at my little community and the neighborhood watch, those Karens are on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're always writing the Facebook page. So I think that when you're in a close community, people are watching out. I am so grateful for my little corner of where I live and for the builders that provided it for me. Like, it's been a game changer for me to have my own little space.
Well, so now, Ashley, if anybody wants to find out any more information about the Salt Lake Home Builders Association, how would they get a hold of you or somebody from the Builders Association?
You can Google Salt Lake Home Builders Association. It'll take you directly to our website. There is plenty of information on there. And then we're also active on social media, on Instagram, Facebook. Just search Salt Lake Home Builders Association. And we have a LinkedIn as well.
And you guys are the ones that put on the Parade of Homes.
You're the one that causes all this envy and strife in my home. My wife is always wanting one of those.
Yes, the Salt Lake Home Builders Association does put on the Salt Lake Parade of Homes every year. It's our favorite event of the year. So when you're walking through those dream homes, just think of the people that also would like a dream home.
Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember, you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.